VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel just last week marked their Holocaust Remembrance Day, a time of remembering 6 million Jews that were killed by the Nazi regime. And then from that Holocaust, we fast forward to October 7th, when Hamas unleashed a very brutal, barbaric attack against Israel. As countries around the world take positions against Israel, in recent remarks made, Israel's prime minister said he would stand alone if they had to. Well, CBN News reported a siren sounded for 2 minutes this morning as Israel commemorated its Memorial Day to honor the nation's war dead and those who died in terror attacks. Prime Minister Netanyahu vowed to continue the Rafah operation in Gaza, and now Israel celebrates its Independence Day as 76 years ago Israel became a nation. Joining us today, we welcome back Dr. Richard Schmidt, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, founder of Prophecy Focus Ministries. He's a speaker on the weekly TV program Prophecy Focus, which is available at vcy.tv, and the radio broadcast Prophecy Unfolding, spending some 32 years in law enforcement, including that of acting sheriff here in Milwaukee County. He's authored several books, Are You Going to a Better Place?, Daniel's Gap, Paul's Mystery, Tribulation to Triumph, The Olivet Discourse, Globalism, The Great World Consumption, and Artificial Intelligence, Transhumanism, and the De-Evolution of Democracy. Pastor Rich, good to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and it's great to be with you.
So last week, May 6th in Israel, they marked Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Day, honoring the memory of the 6 million Jews whose lives were taken in the Holocaust. This has been observed, we understand, since 1951 in Israel.
Well, it's just when you think about what took place, the atrocities of killing so many Jewish people, and now with the amazing amount of anti-Semitism that is rising up all over the country, our country, and as well as the world, it was fit that they took this time to remember so many Jewish people that have been killed, not just during the Holocaust, but quite frankly, many, many Jewish people that have lost their lives since that as well.
Indeed. And so we have this huge transition from the Holocaust memory, the memories of the Holocaust Memorial Days, and then having a Memorial Day actually today unfolding, and then Independence Day also on all coming together at the same time. Yet the messages that's coming from the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, is much the same. And we're going to continue on. Let's just hear what he had to say as it relates to the present situation.
80 years ago, in the Holocaust, the Jewish people were totally defenseless against those who sought our destruction. No nation came to our aid. Today, we again confront enemies bent on our destruction. I say to the leaders of the world, no amount of pressure, no decision by any international forum will stop Israel from defending itself. As the Prime Minister of Israel, the one and only Jewish state, I pledge here today from Jerusalem on this Holocaust Remembrance Day, if Israel is forced to stand alone, Israel will stand alone. But we know we are not alone, because countless decent people around the world support our just cause. And I say to you, we will defeat our genocidal enemies. Never again is now.
Pastor Rich, your response?
I couldn't agree with him more. And as an individual that loves the Jewish people, loves the land of Israel, they have unfortunately stood alone way too often. The one thing I can at least take some comfort in is America, even though there's been some vacillating with President Biden regarding what his actual stand is on some of the things he is and isn't willing to do. I'm thankful, at least for the most part, that we're still standing by Israel when they've gone through so much horrific persecution, suffering, ever since they became a state in 1948.
Yes, indeed. And so we see the continued persecution against Jews and against Israel itself. And so we have the war, and we're going to bring, you know, current some comments and matters that are going on. We all, well, the really the ears of the world were perking up when they heard discussions of a ceasefire taking place. And all of a sudden, then the words were that Hamas has agreed to a ceasefire. But there were some surprises for Israel in that ceasefire.
Well, here's the thing. Every country is attempting to be the magic pill for Israel and without even consulting Israel. So you have various countries that have gone to the bargaining table with Hamas and Qatar and several other countries that have dipped into this concept. Well, it's really you cannot, if you will, negotiate a peace treaty when you don't bring in the nation that's the one being attacked. So when they came up with these various countries, came up with these various scenarios, which basically said Israel has to step out of the picture, we'll release some hostages and we'll call it a day. Israel couldn't tolerate that, and of course not. Hamas is rising its ugly head again. We're seeing places that had been supposedly done within Gaza. The north is popping up again. The south is definitely a problem. The middle sections of Gaza are still being attacked by people in Hamas. So this thing is far from over.
Yeah, indeed. And there was seemed to be shock that the United States seemingly knew about in a hostage swap or deal in which it would be dead bodies that would come back to Israel that rather than hostages that were alive.
Right. And this is the thing. Hamas does not want to give up the military soldiers that they have as hostages. And of course, when they took them, many of them were in a civilian status, but they do have military hostages. And they're only talking about 30-some out of 133 hostages that still remain. And now, because of the treatment or whatever's taken place behind closed doors in Hamas tunnels, we have no idea how many of the individuals are alive at this point.
Let's talk about Rafah. What is the significance of Rafah?
Well, Rafah, of course, is a southern town, if you will, a border town right down in the southern end by Egypt. Rafah has been the place where, according to intelligence sources, not just from Israel, but even America has been putting some effort into this from an intelligence process. This is where, allegedly, the majority of the hostages are being kept. It's a place where Hamas has the majority of their alleged troops are in Rafah at this time. So, again, Israel, they cleaned out the north, they cleaned out the middle sections, even though many of Hamas terrorists apparently have moved back up to the north. But they're considering 10,000-plus Hamas terrorists are in the town of Rafah, which unfortunately, and here's the big issue, there's approximately 1.2 million Palestinians that are in that area right now. President Biden basically said he's not going to supply bombs while the civilians are potential targets. But we now know, according to news sources, that well over 400,000 Palestinians have been moved out of that Rafah area. And Israel has to attack under their rules of engagement to get the Hamas terrorists out of Rafah.
So for Israel really to succumb to the United States and the nations around the world, including the United Nations, and not go into Rafah, this in essence would mean losing the war for them, would it not?
Absolutely, because and everybody's very aware of this. Prime Minister Netanyahu made it extremely clear when this started that he has to eliminate Hamas. Failure to eliminate Hamas, failure to get that government out of Gaza is a no-win for Israel because Hamas will do, and we're already seeing it. And I'm actually almost shocked the amount of, if you will, weapons and things that have been taking place right back in the north. They move right back up. As soon as, if you don't wipe them out, they're just going to do the same thing. They'll attack Israel over and over and over again unless they're eliminated.
And there's great pressure coming from all quarters not to enter Rafah, including pressure from the United States. And our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, has been very forthright with this. Matter of fact, last week he was visiting Israel, and Israel National News reported that Blinken warned Netanyahu that a major military operation in Rafah would jeopardize Israel's relations with the United States.
All right. And again, they're doing, and I trust this is just saber rattling, but Jake Sullivan, Antony Blinken, the president himself, all these major players in American politics are making it very clear. Don't mess with Rafah and hurt the, if you will, the citizens. Well, again, this is a political move, I believe, on the United States, not because citizens are being killed in mass numbers, if you will. Now, some are going to die, and nobody wants that. But when you have a war, when there's citizens that are actually surrounding the people of Hamas, it's extremely difficult. But again, this is the rhetoric, the saber-rattling of the United States trying to allegedly protect the, if you will, the humanitarian aid and the citizens. But what is it all about? It's not genocide, as has been being stated, because America keeps trying to get the civilians out of there. But they're going to keep coming after, if you will, the Israeli government, because it is a major political issue here in America.
And citizens have been warned to leave. Israel has really forecast their plans. We're coming in. You need to leave. I don't know of any other nation that does that. I don't know if Russia, you know, tells, you know, a city in Ukraine, hey, we're coming to your city to bomb tonight. But Israel goes to those lengths.
Absolutely.
And they alert them. And as such, there are those who are saying, no, we're going to die here for Hamas.
Yeah, absolutely. And the issue is, it's unbelievable. The rules of engagement of war, it's gone way beyond what would be considered, I think, proper notification. You don't tell the enemy where you're going to hit and when you're going to hit them. I mean, then you can put up your defenses. Well, I totally agree, and there's no doubt about it that Israel has been very kind. As war goes, you put leaflets in, you make telephone calls. They've got robotic telephone systems going to folks that live in that area. They're letting people know. They're telling. I mean, we know everything that's taking place. We know that Israel has made it very clear they're going to attack Rafah. So if me and you know it, the people of Palestine, if you will, or the Palestinians, there is no Palestine, but those that call themselves Palestinians, they know what's happening.
I understand that, again, pressure coming from the Biden administration not to go into Rafah and further, see war escalate there. And it's even been, I saw one story this morning talking about the Biden administration telling Israel, we will tell you where, you know, some of the Hamas head honchos are, so to speak, if you'll pull back and keep civilians, you know, safe in all of this. And does the United States know where they're hiding out? And you know, what's happening there?
Well, I'll tell you what. And when I read the same thing, it's like, okay, what does America know that they're not telling Israel, yeah, our ally? And it really did. It got my attention. Like, wait a second. You're supposed to be helping our ally Israel. You have intelligence information. Why in the world did it take to today to start sharing that stuff? So mm-hmm. That was very suspect in my mind.
Yeah, and I the jury's still out on that issue.
Yes.
As to what's happening there. But what about the attack in Rafah itself? What do we know has happened so far there?
All right, so the sources that I have and the feeds that I get, East Rafah definitely has been attacked. There's several cities, actually, that are or let's just call it different parts of Rafah that are down there, specifically the borderline, and is called Ashkhol, Shokes, and there's two little towns down there that are being infiltrated. So the war is underway. They are infiltrating Rafah as we speak.
Friends, we'll be back in 1 minute. We're talking with Pastor Richard Schmidt, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, founder of Prophecy Focus Ministries. We're talking about the Israeli war. We're talking about Independence Day there as well. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how far away is Mars?
Chris, both Mars and Earth are orbiting the sun at different distances. The Earth circles the sun every year, but Mars, being at a different distance and a different speed, has a different timetable. In their elliptical travels, Earth passes Mars every 780 days or so, and at that time is as close as it's going to be for another 2.5 years. In August of 2004, they came the closest ever, but still over 55 million kilometers of distance between them. Chris, the orbits of the planets and the moons are so precise that we can calculate exactly where they'll be at a point in the future. This was God's purpose for the heavenly bodies, to help men keep time. Chris, I think they have accomplished their back-to-Genesis purpose well, don't you?
Thanks, Dr. John. For more information, visit us on the web at icr.org.
I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Richard Schmidt, our guest here today on the program, founder of Prophecy Focus Ministries. We're talking about the Israeli war. We're talking about Independence Day and finishing their Memorial Day as well. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But what do we know about the arms shipments to Israel from the U.S.? Have we indeed stopped these shipments from taking place, the ammunition, the bombs necessary for this war?
Well, the answer to that, I think, is unequivocally no. We haven't stopped sending things. There was a certain shipment of about 3,000 bombs that basically America's position was these specific bombs could be used in the Rafah attack. So President Biden, and again, this is there's half good, half bad on this. The good part is Israel is still being sent all of the things necessary to keep the Iron Dome intact. Those are the specific anti-ballistic missile setups. So we're still in the protection mode for Israel. Other arms shipments have been sent to Israel. The only one that is suspect right now are these 3,000 bombs. However, as of yesterday, the little tone changed on that, where the president's administration said, listen, we'll send you those bombs as long as you promise not to use them against Rafah. The jury's out on that, haven't heard the results yet.
And it seems yet that Hamas has been benefiting from U.S. aid as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the amount of money that America pours into multiple countries, including Islamic countries that obviously are against Israel, Hamas has been, if you will, benefiting from it. Qatar has been benefiting from it. Other nations have been benefiting from it. So, again, our current administration plays both sides of the fence, and it just all boils down to the one thing we got to be honest. It's all politics.
Yeah, and this is where Senator Lindsey Graham spoke out on Fox News, and he said this. This is the worst possible signal to send to all the bad guys that America would be withholding weapons and ammunition to the Jewish state, who's under siege on multiple fronts. This is just inciting more violence.
Right, and this is also leading. I mean, there's conservative individuals in the Senate and the House that are drafting impeachment papers right now based on basically failure to uphold the amount of money that was going to be sent to Israel for weaponry and withholding those weapons. So it's a huge political fight right now between those that are, if you will, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, and those that are pro-Israel. And most of those pro-Israel people, by the way, are pro-American. Whereas a lot of these others that are claiming to be pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, they're the ones that are basically fighting against America right now. And surprisingly, the president, who's the one that's been supporting them for years.
Yeah, and so if we're funding kind of both ends of this war, it seems like we're doing the same with Russia and Ukraine, that there is a prolonging of this effort to take place.
Absolutely, and that's where we get into, again, what is it proper for America, who has decided to be the police agency for the entire world? When is it right to send money? When is it not? And that's been a huge political battle. I know many folks listening are going to have differing opinions on that. But we've been supporting Israel. Why? I think on two accounts. One, America is their ally. Secondly, we have a this country wants to admit it anymore, we are founded on biblical principles, which included defending Israel. Everything else is suspect and open to interpretation.
I've been seeing reports, Pastor Schmidt, that UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Work Agency, not only had many members that assisted Hamas on October 6th, but now it's also reported that members of UNRWA have been caught stealing these relief supplies and then selling this humanitarian aid that came to Gaza.
Well, and again, this issue with the United Nations and their relief workers, which basically means, and we use a lot of acronyms, but the United Nations Relief and Workers Agency for Palestinian Refugees. These are the individuals that are supposedly helping the Palestinians. They're bringing aid. But, there's a thing called greed. There's a thing called corruption. And the UNRWA apparently is no exception to the rule when it comes to criminal activity.
Meanwhile, there are other things that are going on right now, including at the United Nations. And understand that there was a move that's come to make, give statehood to Palestinians.
Well, yes, there you go again. And it's like, here we have a particular group of people that technically, when you look at it, don't own property, don't own land. They've been allowed, if you will, on specific peace treaties with Israel to, if you will, live in certain areas. Now, again, I know those that are pro-Palestinian will say this is their land. Well, it's not their land, never was their land. Genesis chapter 15, if we want to get biblical about it, all that land plus 90% more space belongs to the people of Israel. It's God-given land. So there is this conflict, and the Palestinian issue is going to keep going on until, quite frankly, Jesus comes back and straightens it out when he sets up his kingdom.
Let's move on to the Memorial Day aspect here. And we saw this morning at 11:02 a.m. Israel time, National Memorial Day observance began at Mount Herzl in Jerusalem. There was a two-minute siren marking the moment of silence for Israel's fallen and those murdered in the terror attacks. They report that they are remembering some 25,040 since they've been holding these memorial days. Among them are 711 who have fallen since the start of the war with Hamas on October 7th. There was a statement that was made this morning by Israel's prime minister. He said this: our national home is standing, our country is standing, and it's standing thanks to you. But at the same time, the sorrow is terrible and heartbreaking. Dear families, our loved ones who fell on battle, and in all the battles of Israel, the battles of renewal represent eternal values. It's either Israel or the Hamas monsters. It's either existence, freedom, security, and prosperity, or it's massacre, rape, and servitude. And then he said, we are determined to win this battle, but the price that we are paying, the price that previous generations have paid, is very heavy. There is no comfort. There is life, but the wound will remain until the end of our lives. Our war of independence has not yet ended. It continues even now.
Well, again, when we look at our friends, God's chosen people, the Jewish people, and he couldn't have said it any better, that the suffering that the Jewish people have gone through, the suffering that the state of Israel has gone through, and it has been an extremely high cost. When we go back to what we previously talked about, the Holocaust, when over 6 million Jewish people were murdered by, if you will, terrorists, people such as Hitler and his groups, it's been a horrible, horrible cost. And here they still are battling, if you will, to keep their country in one piece. I just have to go back because being that we are biblicists here, the issue is going to remain. And unfortunately, the anti-Semitism, the fighting against Israel, it is going to remain until the wonderful event happens when God tells us that Jesus himself will come back, the Messiah will come back, if you will, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, where Jesus will come back and he will set the land right for Israel, and there will be a national revival, if you will, for the people of Israel. Until that time, we hate to say it, but Israel is going to continue to suffer.
But will Israel be wiped off the face of the earth, off the face of the map?
Well, there's no way on earth that can take place because God gave four unconditional covenants with the Jewish people. The Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12, 1-3. The land covenant, Deuteronomy 30, 1-5. The Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7, 6-16. The new covenant, Jeremiah 31, 31-40, all which guarantee Israel a future, and Israel will not be destroyed.
Pastor Richard Schmidt with us here today on Crosstalk. Dr. Schmidt, we also see, we've heard some astounding numbers as far as Palestinian civilians that have lost their lives. And we understand that there has been great correction to numbers. Newsmax.com had a story about UN saying, well, this is just due to the fog of war for overcounting the Gazan child deaths and the number of civilians, some overestimated by 40% or more. But the fog of war?
Well, again, there's
propaganda, really.
Yeah, and I would 100% agree. It's simply Gaza putting up numbers, if you will, the Hamas people putting up numbers to try and get this. What has actually happened, and it has happened, unfortunately, in America, where people are hearing inflated numbers, the rhetoric is inflamed, people get excited, they get upset, they're screaming out genocide and so forth. And again, when all of a sudden, well, maybe it's not as bad as we said, it really just goes to tell someday all the truth is going to come out. It's not going to be today or next week or next year probably, but it's amazing that all of a sudden they're starting even to admit, well, maybe we made a few mistakes here. Well, it was more than mistakes, I would agree.
Yeah.
Propaganda.
Well, indeed, Memorial Day observance took place this morning, and I understand even a flight going into Israel that the pilot made announcement and people aboard that plane stood in remembrance at that very time that the sirens were going off in Israel. But somehow, Pastor Schmidt, they transitioned from Memorial Day to Independence Day, which is a day of great celebration.
And it is. In fact, just a few seconds ago while we were on break, I looked at a news feed, and the Jewish people, even though they're a little more somber maybe based on what's taking place, they are. They're in the streets. They're rejoicing. They're thankful for their country. And again, 76 years, that's not very long that they've been back in one position where, of course, God promised that he would give them their state back, and he has, just as the prophecy had stated it would happen. So, yes, they're rejoicing, but it's the same issue that they've been fighting for 76 years. They've always been under attack because they live in what we like to call a very tough neighborhood.
Indeed, and as such, the very fact that Israel became a nation 76 years ago, now this week, is a testimony to God's hand of faithfulness. Many have called it the miracle of Israel.
Absolutely. God made it perfectly clear again that they're the apple of his eye. They are his chosen people. In Zechariah, God said he is jealous or zealous, or as Dr. Jimmy DeYoung used to say, he's aggressively possessive for his people. And they're not going away, despite what some even Christian theologians have stated with replacement theology and supersessionist theology. All we have to do is look and see that God actually is fulfilling in literal format, not allegorized or spiritualized scripture. He's fulfilling exactly what he said he would do.
Meanwhile, let's come back here to the United States and observe what's taking place on American soil right now, where we have really not a whole lot of let-up taking place on university campuses. Some places there is, and they're breaking up these encampments, but others, it is just festering like an open wound.
Well, one thing that caught my attention yesterday was Duke University's graduation, and Jerry Seinfeld was the speaker there. I mean, he's a national-known comic. People love him, but many people also know that Seinfeld happens to be Jewish. And right during his speech, and you could have seen it on national news, it's all over the media today, many, I don't know, several dozen individuals stood up, walked out while this Jewish person was talking. Well, again, he wasn't there talking about pro-Israel, pro-whatever. He was simply there. But just the anti-Semitism, and it's just almost amazing how much hatred there is for a people. And nobody even knows why that hatred exists, but it's there. I simply say it's Luciferian, it's satanic, it's devilish, and the devil's having a party with us.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Dr. Richard Schmidt, our guest here today, as we're talking about Israel. And a few more thoughts here before we open phone lines, including some comments that have come recently from an imam in the state of California. Back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
When it comes to eternity, most people assume they will go to heaven thinking their good deeds will outweigh their bad and God will allow them entrance. At most funerals, people will console one another saying they are in a better place. But how do you know that? How do you know if you will be in a better place? In the book, Are You Going to a Better Place?, author Richard Schmidt presents how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you are on your way to heaven. See, after you die, there will be no negotiation with God. The scriptures provide the one way today that God's justice can be satisfied, guaranteeing that you will be in an eternal dwelling place with him. One copy of this book is available for a donation of $10, three for $24, or five copies for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and yes, believe it or not, last Friday, the United Nations General Assembly, well, they're voting to in favor of a resolution allowing Palestine to become a full voting member, recognizing its qualifications as a nation state. Almost three quarters of the members voted for this, but we understand U.S. and Israel among the nine no votes, but this has got to go before the U.N. Security Council as well for approval, of which we have veto authority.
Right. And again, this is all Palestinian rhetoric. It's fighting. The main issue is not to be pro-Palestinian in the United Nations. It's to be anti-Israel.
Right.
You just have to be honest about it. So I'm very happy the United States is taking a stand on this. They, of course, push back on it. And as you stated, have veto power. How can you all of a sudden give the national recognition to a place that doesn't technically own any land? It's again, it's all political, it's all rhetoric, and it's all anti-Semitic.
Before the break, we were talking about some of the university protests that are going on, and as more arrests are taking place, we find that, yes, indeed, what was believed is true. There are many that are being arrested who are not students, but in essence are provocateurs.
Right, and that's exactly the case. Multi-billionaires are the ones that are funding these things, and I don't even like to give them credit by giving their names anymore. Most of us know who they are. But all you have to do is look at the encampments around the country. How come they're all pup tents? How come they're all green for the most part? I don't think Walmart had a sale in every country. Somebody had those stockpiled, and somebody made sure that they got to the campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that we know are, and you're exactly right, agitators, paid agitators who are non-students, are sent and paid to go onto these college campuses and to stir them up and to get these things going. I will guarantee you, and we've seen it on interviews with college students, they have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what genocide is taking place, which, of course, it's not taking place. They simply get hyped up on the rhetoric that they're hearing. It's just, and I hate to say it, it's sheeple doing just following whoever the leader is. And it's like, well, we need to fight this. Let's fight it.
So you have inciters that are fanning the flames, but you also have imams who are fanning the flames as well. And through their messages, and there is one from California, Tariq Alta, Tariq Alta, Tariq Alta of California. And he talks about the importance of inflicting pain on them and then quickly corrects himself to say, well, emotional pain. So here's what he has to say.
And we say the only comparison today between Nazi Germany and that whole fiasco and that terrible situation and what's going on today is that you, Netanyahu, are similar to Hitler and that Zionism is similar to Nazism. My final message to the college students. We are watching these events because a lot of these college students think that the masajid, the imams, the Muslim organizations, they really don't know what's going on and we're not there to support them. No, we see exactly what's going on. And we are inspired by your bravery. We are impressed by your courage. And we love you and what you are doing. And I remind you that every step you take for the sake of Allah in this cause will get you hasanat. That every ounce of fear and anger that you put in the heart of Netanyahu and his thugs and all those who support and collaborate and finance this violence and this inhumane war against a primarily civilian population, every ounce of fear you put in their hearts by your lawful protest is rewarded by Allah, as the Quran says, وَلَا يَطَعُونَ مَوْطِئًا يَغِيظُ الْكُفَّارِ وَلَا يَنَالُونَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ نَيْلًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, whatever step you take that brings pain, emotional pain, I mean, that brings fear in the hearts of these cruel people, these enemies of humanity, that you will be rewarded for it.
Well, he says emotional pain. I mean, he didn't want the real truth to get out there. That's my opinion on that. We'll have to have Usama translate that for us. Your response to the incitement here?
Well, again, it's strong rhetoric. He's pushing for his religion, the Islamic Muslim faith, if you will. And again, we're very aware, if you've studied the Quran at all, that their push is to wipe out the infidels. Jewish people are infidels in the Muslim mind. Christians are infidels in the Muslim mind, and they need to be eradicated, wiped out. So it makes perfect sense that this imam, who's going to support his religion, he's going to support the Quran, he's going to push to incite this violence, which is antithetical, of course, to Christianity, which is, if you will, we're not out to incite violence. So I just want to bring that point out. This is a particular religion that is about violence and killing all those that are, if you will, infidels. And he just made it perfectly clear. Get these students riled up, get them, if you will, into a violent frenzy, and that should have a great impact and be awarded by their God.
Dr. Richard Schmidt with us today. By the way, his website, prophecyfocus.org, prophecyfocus.org, teaches weekly on topics pertaining to Bible prophecy, pertaining to Israel. You can see all of the recordings at vcy.tv, vcy.tv, and look for Prophecy Focus. Right now, we'd like to open our phone lines to take your questions, your comments here at Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Pastor Schmidt, last Thursday, I was rather alarmed by a story that Todd Starnes had released about where some of this is going on the university campuses, and his focus was a developing story out of George Washington University that they were urging police, the president was, to arrest pro-Hamas demonstrators who laid siege to the school. And they were openly calling for school administrators to be beheaded. The demonstrators held what they called a people's tribunal, where they put administrators on trial. They could be heard yelling, you know, to the gallows with you, said by the encampment leader. There was a mock court held for their board of trustees and for the school's president, shouting for these individuals to be beheaded. The protesters yelling out, to the guillotine.
Absolutely unconscionable, untenable in our society that this type of rhetoric would even be allowed. Every single, if you will, state, county, country, or county within America has disorderly conduct statutes that would forbid this type of thing. This is a direct violation of the First Amendment, by the way, of the Constitution. And these things action should be taken. These types of rhetoric and unpeaceful assemblies, this should result in immediate arrest and charging for this type of thing. So, again, it's unconscionable that in America we would even tolerate that for 10 seconds. This type of thing must end.
Friends, we have some available phone lines. Our number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. 29. Let's go to Chris in Ohio. Chris, you're on the air.
Hello. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
For Dr. Schmidt, a question. You referenced a bunch of Bible verses justifying the existence of Israel. Can you repeat those again, please?
Sure. The Abrahamic Covenant, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. What's known as the land covenant for Israel, Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 to 5. The Davidic covenant, which basically promises that there'll always be a Jewish people and the Messiah will set up his kingdom through that line, 2 Samuel 7, verses 6 to 16. And the new covenant, where God promised Judah and Jerusalem that they would never be abandoned, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 40.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. Schmidt, we're also going to find repeated throughout scriptures, Romans, we're going to see also in the book of Psalms, God repeats an everlasting covenant that was made with Abraham.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's amazing because after what's known as a seven-year tribulation period, God made it very clear that he's going to have a national revival for the nation of Israel. Unfortunately, Zechariah 13, 8, and 9 makes it clear that two-thirds of the Jewish people will indeed lose their life during that seven-year tribulation time, but the one-third will be brought through the fire. Again, Zechariah 13, 8, and 9, where they, again, God will bring those people out of hiding, if you will, and they'll be part of the kingdom that he'll inaugurate, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 7.
Friends, it's just amazing. If you just even look up those words, an everlasting covenant, you're going to find that God keeps his promises, okay? It doesn't, there was never that little caveat that says, well, in case this happens, that I'm rescinding this covenant. This was a unilateral covenant given by God.
Yeah, basically the word we like to use is unconditional. In other words, even if Israel goes into horrific sin, they go against God, God said, listen, I'm going to keep you regardless of your actions. Now, God may inflict some punishment there, right, but he'll never get rid of his people.
And that does not negate that punishment, nor judgment from God against his chosen people.
Absolutely, which is, unfortunately, the Jewish people have suffered many, many times, gone into captivity multiple times because of disobedience. But it's God loves his people.
We have Bruce calling from Somerset, Kentucky. Bruce, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm wondering if Israel will recover all of the promised land before Jesus' return.
That's a great question. I don't believe they will. When Jesus comes back again, he comes back, Revelation 19, 11 to 21, that will be the time when the Messiah will set up the kingdom. That will be the time when Israel will regain their land. And actually, the borders of that land are found in Genesis chapter 15, which is 90% bigger than the land they currently possess.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce. Our number, 800-733-9829. Joseph in Bellevue, Michigan, you're on the air.
Hi, brother. I was just listening to the Book of Esther this morning, and it's just like, yeah, this situation, God deals with these types of things, these Hamans that rise up throughout all history.
Yeah.
And when they persist, he generally uses the sword of a king to end their violence against his people. That's all I wanted to say.
Great, thank you. Correlation with the Book of Esther.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Satan has been trying to wipe out the Jewish people ever since day one. He tried to destroy the line of Christ when Herod was around. You just brought up a wonderful thing out of Esther where the Jewish people were preserved. And this is going to keep going on and on and on once again until Jesus comes back, Revelation 19.
Let's go to David in Hillsboro, Illinois. David, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim and Dr. Schmidt. I was just thinking that this intense anti-Semitism, this hatred, could have been, probably has been, boiling beneath the surface for a long time, mm-hmm. just boiling away. And all it took was a catalyst, like Hamas attacking Israel on October 7th, and Israel responding appropriately. It just took that catalyst to bring all of this hatred to the surface, just like a volcano suddenly erupting, because that's what it's like. It's like a volcano of absolute hatred just erupting all over the United States and the world. So I just wanted to share that, just the boiling beneath the surface, and it just took a catalyst to cause it to erupt.
Hey, appreciate the call. We're up against a break. I'm going to have our guest respond right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be back with a comment on that call. Our phone number here, 800-733-9829. Couple open lines again, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Many are rightfully raising an alarm about a bill in Canada. And the reason we in America should be concerned is because many believe this Canadian bill is a template to be used in Western societies like America. The legislation is, well, supposedly going to criminalize, according to the very passages I myself have read, criminalize and even imprison people for life, and also impose heavy fines for simply speaking truth. Anything they deem to be offensive or hateful And of course, we know that Jesus spoke about this, that they will hate us for speaking truth. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me is considered now hateful. And of course, this is going to set up more persecution and prosecution of believers. So my friends, be aware the template is being set in Canada for America. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Dr. Richard Schmidt is with us. He leads a ministry called Prophecy Focus Ministry. He's also an area pastor at Union Grove Baptist Church. And the website, incidentally, prophecyfocus.org, prophecyfocus.org. You'll find a number of his resources and other information available on his site. So David called just before that break and was talking about, wow, this whole matter was just the catalyst. We've reached this boiling point, and all over it, just simultaneous, like volcanoes that are going off. Your response to him?
Yeah, well, I would agree with him. There has been an eruption across the world, not just here in America, but across the world of anti-Semitism. Now, again, I have to go right back to Scripture. Why is this taking place? Or 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 makes it very clear that now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Folks, what we have a real hard time understanding that everything that's taking place has a spiritual nexus. Indeed, the things that are happening, these, if you will, as Scripture states, the doctrine of demons, where Satan is doing his thing, using people. It's like, how can so many people be blinded to what's taking place? It's the same blindness that God allowed Satan to do with Adam and Eve. People will follow whatever the deception is, and the satanic world, if you will, the doctrine of demons, the demonic world, is having a tremendous influence right now, and it's no surprise because Satan wishes to destroy God's purpose.
Yeah, his purpose and his plan for this world.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to Wanda in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Wanda, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I depend on your program to give me the truth about the news. Someone recently said to me that they're not surprised that Israel was attacked because they had been so cruel to the Palestinians. I was flabbergasted. What's this all about? Do you know what that's about?
I'm sorry, what was your actual question? What was your last question? Do you have...
What did Israel do to the Palestinians? I don't know.
Okay.
Well, Wanda, first of all, I got to say, I love Chattanooga, and I love the Chattanooga Choo Choo restaurant down there. Just had to throw that in. But, Wanda, here's the issue. Israel didn't do anything. What happened was Hamas, the Palestinians, are the ones that incited this war. We cannot forget, and this is the exact point, October 7th, 2023, the Hamas terrorists broke through the southern border, killed 1,200 Jewish innocent people, raped, murdered, did unimaginable things to their female population that they took the hostages, 250 hostages. Israel did nothing at that point. What Israel is now doing is saying, enough's enough. We're going to stop the nonsense of the Hamas terrorism. We've got to knock out Hamas. We've got to stop the terrorist attacks on our people. It's a matter of national security for Israel. Anything else is just rhetoric and politics and is not the truth.
Thank you, Wanda, for your call. And just so, you know, we may sound like a broken record in all of this, but we have... individuals here in the United States and professors and so forth said, well, the reason that Hamas finally, you know, they said, we've had enough here. Israel has come in and they have occupied, you know, the occupation, the occupiers, and they are the ones who have oppressed the Palestinians. What is your response to that?
Well, first of all, the land originally always, and again, from the Bible statements that we made, it is Israeli territory. But here's the thing. Let's go back to Gaza. Israel gave Gaza that territory. Israel has done nothing as far as infiltrating Gaza and causing them any problems. It was these individuals, Hamas, a terrorist group, that just decided, we need to follow our religion, we need to follow the Quran, we need to get rid of the infidels. Israel did nothing. They did no acts against these people.
We have next Peggy calling from Tomah, Wisconsin. Hi, Peggy, you're on the air.
Hi. I simply wanted to say that because I read scripture, and I've done it for many years, that I understand. I understand that God is faithful. If he wanted to destroy his people, he would have done it with Moses, because Moses interceded for them, and God listened. And that wasn't only one time, it was more than that. And God is faithful. He has made it clear that he will not destroy his people, and God doesn't go back on his word, ever. So I'm encouraged by that, and brothers and sisters in Christ should be too. I've always loved Israel. So I'm just thankful that God is who he is, mm-hmm. and he doesn't go according to what we think.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Thank you for that. And Pastor, she's right. God could have destroyed Israel on many, many times and many occasions. And as she said, Moses did intercede on behalf of the people.
Yeah, well, Peggy, I appreciate your stance on that and your love of the Lord, which was obvious from what you stated. And I couldn't agree with you more. God loves his people. Yes, he may have to chastise them at times, but he's not forsaking Israel. And when we did, and several times now, we've repeated the covenants that God stated. He will not break them. He is invested in the Jewish people, and they will remain. Thanks for that call.
And I'm glad we have a covenant-keeping God. Let's pick up one last call. This is Kelly in Milwaukee. Kelly, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is Israel suffering consistently or constantly because they haven't really accepted Jesus as their Savior?
Hmm.
Is that why they're consistently suffering?
Great. Thank you, Kelly.
Well, Kelly, that's a million-dollar question, especially during the church age. We can look at the prophetic scriptures, and we can look at the scriptures from the Old Testament. Yes, God indeed did punish Israel many times, the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, the Roman invasion, if you will, all prophesied in the Old Testament that would take place. Now we're in, if you will, kind of that midsection where we're the church age exists, and we're outside of the prophetic scenario. So the things that are happening now appear to be a direct result of just natural things. The Jewish people right now, for the most part, aren't following the Lord. They're not Christians. And God will do what he needs to do to draw these people back to himself. So all I can say is after the rapture of the church age saints, that God indeed will judge Israel heavily. Unfortunately, as I stated, Zechariah 13, 8 and 9, two-thirds of the Jewish people will pass away, but God will preserve that one-third for the kingdom.
Thank you for the call. We are out of time. Dr. Richard Schmidt, our guest here today on Crosstalk, prophecyfocus.org is the website, prophecyfocus.org, pastor of Union Grove Baptist Church, Union Grove, Wisconsin. Pastor, thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me again.
And friends, a reminder to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. But God's prophetic timetable will come to pass. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.